You're listening to She Speaks, a Let Her Speak podcast that celebrates women's fearlessness, resiliency, and readiness to change the world.
Okay, my name is Steph B. I am currently now the CEO of B Consultancy and also a mummy blogger. The one word that I would describe for these past 2 years is wild. That's my description.
I would totally agree. Being an outsider, seeing everything. It's been wild. Absolutely. Yeah. So let's dive into the wildness of what has happened since early 2020.
Let's talk about it. So I've had a small human named Melina, a beautiful little girl, which I'm still, I don't know, I have days still where I look in the mirror and I'm like, you're a mother, like you own a human. So that's been a bit crazy. I left the chamber. Last time I was speaking with you, I'm still at the chamber, but I'm not there no more. Still absolutely love them. Loved my job, but decided to transition out. After having Alina, I went from being like the most workaholic human. I feel like I am still a workaholic. I'm still working through those problems, but it died down a bit. And I just wanted to be a mum. So I ended up leaving my job. I stopped working for like a month, which is not long at all. And then found myself back into another job, which was still marketing communications. And a little while into that, I just missed Alina even more. And I was like, what is wrong with me? And funny enough, my boss at the time was the one who was like, hey, I think you should start your own consultancy because you have other people who you're working with anyway. And I thought, oh my God, that's a great idea. I started that and now I work 2 times the amount more than I used to work. It has been a wild 2 years.
Because you were working on a with a friend, who I also know, Brie.
Yes, Brie.
Yeah, so you were working on that. And then I know Brie moved and moved out of Knoxville and traveled around a lot. So is there little bits of pieces of that business that you've pulled into the consultancy as well, or the passion? Is there some of the underlying passion there that you brought into it?
100%. Definitely the underlying passion is there. I'd say more so my blog. I took a lot from what we did with the Becoming and poured that into my blog. One of the things that me and Brie agreed on was that we would still hold on to those women who are a part of our group with Becoming, and a lot of them transitioned over and subscribed to my blog, and most of them were mums. So it actually worked out really well. But to answer your question, yeah, definitely Becoming helped to, I feel, prepare me to even own a business, because I didn't know what I was, I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to be honest, guys. I don't know what I'm doing. I wake up every morning just winging it with a small human. But yeah, Becoming has definitely kind of helped to navigate me a lot.
I would say that the majority of entrepreneurs that I know, to some degree, are winging it in some capacity.
Right.
I mean, you know, some days it's like, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And then other days you're like, I don't know what's going on, but I'll just keep showing up and see what happens.
Right. And hopefully this works out.
Yeah.
I feel that.
So, I mean, what has it, because when we last talked, you weren't a mom.
I was not a mom.
And now you're a mom.
Yeah.
Which is total transformation of all of the things. So how have you, I mean, and like you said, like you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my gosh, this human is a mom.
Yeah.
How have you worked through that?
I don't know, Catherine. I don't know. If I'm being honest, right, I feel like, so when I first had Alina, let's go back. When I found out I was pregnant, I was so surprised. I shouldn't have been surprised. I'm a liar, because we were trying for a baby, but still in my mind, I was like, we're not going to have a baby straight away. I'll be fine. And then I blinked and then I was having a baby. So, I feel like those 9 months, usually smart women take that time to prepare their brain to say you're about to be a mum. Workaholic me was like, no, I'm going to still do what I'm doing. I'm not even going to process this yet. And then, you know, I still have 9 months to really just, you know, process and plan out what my life is going to be like now that I have a baby. Well, didn't do that. Got into the delivery room and boom, we had a human. So I've, so far, I think what I've been trying to do is figure out a way to balance. One of the things that I feel like I lost when I first had Alina was balance. I didn't know how to be the mum that I've had, because my mum is an incredible mum. And I was trying to be that, but then still be me at the same time and make that a part of me. And I feel like now the reason why it's becoming easier is because I've accepted that being a mum is another title I wear. It's another part of me, rather than it being this outside piece that I have to connect with as soon as I get home. I'm a mum all the time. So that's what's kind of just helped me a lot. But do I still have panic attacks? Do I still feel crazy sometimes? Yeah. So it's crazy.
Yeah. And I think that's a great way to put it, though. Like, you can't compartmentalize that right now I'm being a mom, or right now I'm being an entrepreneur, or right now I'm being a wife. It's just like, it's all
the things
all the time.
Women are superheroes, man.
They really are. So talking about the balance, because that's one thing that I've known quite a few, you know, we're both at that age of like, everybody's having babies.
Yeah.
You know, we're in that generation group now.
Right.
And, you know, I'm constantly, you know, learning about friends that are having babies and other women that are having babies. And a lot of times we want to push against the norm of like, oh, you're going to have to slow down. And we don't like to be told you're going to slow down when you become a mom.
Exactly.
And we really want to be like, no, I can do all the things, and I can be all the things.
Exactly.
And it sounds like you've been working through like, how do I be okay with the title of mom and that being a part of my identity, when a lot of times when we're young, we're like, I'm not going to let a child define who I am. And I'm not going to let motherhood define who I am.
Yeah. It's, in saying that, it's, I think the hardest thing for me at first was literally what I was saying. Yeah. Just going back to not separating those things and realizing that I'm all of those things in one. But the hardest thing, going to your point about slowing down, my whole life I've not been able to do that. It's bad. I don't know if it's because I've grown up in London, that is extremely fast paced. But I've always been someone who's like I was that annoying child in school who would get an A and be upset because it didn't have like an A plus by it. I was that weird child. I don't know why I was like that, but I've taken that into adulthood now. So for me, I think the first issue that I had was trying to be this perfect A plus mum, not realizing that there's no guide to this. There's no manual. For me, it was more relying now on my instinct to know that like God has given me this human because he trusts that I know what to do. So the blueprint may not be outside of me, but it's in me. So I've just been trying to every single day figure out what that blueprint is, because we have good days and we have bad days. You know, obviously having Chris, my husband travels a bunch. It's been now strange to try it, especially with COVID. COVID was a wild season, which I'm sure we'll go into. But anyway, then navigating traveling with her but, you know, still trying to dodge COVID. It's been wild, Catherine.
Oh, I bet. I bet. So the before we jump into I guess this is connected to COVID, but your family is still in England, right? They're in London. So not only for 2 years were you battling not being able to see your family, and I know that you're really close with your parents, but now you have this tiny human and you had to go into a hospital system that is... you know, nobody can go in there really. Yeah. And now you're raising this child and you're just now probably being able to like bring her around other human beings. So she's gone through this strange atypical phase. Way of being raised. Right. And then, you know, not being able to also be around your parents all the time. So like, how has all of that gone?
Crazy. Obviously, we got pregnant during COVID, and my dream, like probably every other, you know, female who's close with their mum, was that my mum will be here, or I can go over to England and have her and then come back. And that obviously was not the case. My family couldn't get a flight to America because America was locked down. what we did was we set up a Zoom where my siblings and my parents were on Zoom in the delivery room with me. And that helped. But obviously after then having Alina, you know, you learn so much of your tactics as a mum from kind of what you see. So I was trying my best to be that, to be the mum that I had seen growing up, but then at the same time still be myself and do this all by myself. And it's funny because even though COVID happened, Chris had slowed down with shows, everything stopped, and that was great. But he also has a workaholic vibe about him. So for him, it was kind of like, okay, there's humans here now, but we still got to work because we have a lot of bills to pay. So we got to figure this thing out. And it was hard. It was, I can't even lie to you. Like, I know a lot of people, for me, a lot of people glamorize motherhood to a degree. Motherhood for me has been, especially because of COVID, I would say that the first year, and she's only a year old, but the first year, and I'm including like being pregnant as well, was, it was hard. It was really, really, really hard. And then like you said, with Alina, she has grown up, it was so funny. First, when the mask mandate actually disappeared and she saw people's lower face, she would just stare and like touch and be like, they have something outside of that mask. So even seeing that has been incredible. She's now trying to, we didn't put her in daycare because every daycare was closed. And then when they opened back up, they were all full. So she didn't get the chance to really integrate with other little kids. Mm-hmm. So she is now learning like those social skills, which is really great. And she's such a friendly person. Like, it's amazing to see how much she loves people as well. So
that's good.
It's been wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so what have been some of the biggest takeaways that you've had so far of, you know, realizing that the model of perfection for a mother or a parent just is for one thing, it's a moving target.
Yeah.
Especially for moms. I feel like it is a constant. You have to be all the things all the time. And no matter what you do, somebody else is going to have a thinking that you're doing it wrong in some degree. Yeah. Right. So how, you know, how have been some of the things that you have recognized as these are the things that are important for me as a mom, as a woman, you know, all of the titles as for over the last year, let's say.
Oh my God. It has been, that's a great question. It has been hard to do that as well. This is going to sound so melancholy, this entire podcast. I'm just saying hard, sorrow, tired. But it's been hard. I think for me, it was having the realization that as a woman, and we have a male engineer in here, so no offense, male engineer, we are superheroes, like I said. So it was just tapping into that superhero style to say, I can be all those things still because all those things are me. It's not outside of me. My blog is what really helped me to kind of find my, or have an outlet for myself during that process. My blog is an oxymoron because it's called Mummy's Essential Guide, but we've both just, as I've said before, there is no guide to motherhood. So it's been this weird oxymoron blog of what I've been learning and hopefully teaching other women. And I could be teaching you the wrong thing, guys. Who knows at this point? We'll find out when she's 18. But from my understanding, that's been something that's really kind of just helped me telling these crazy stories about my day. For example, I'll definitely be writing a blog today about me sitting in front of you in extremely dark sunglasses because my eyes are swollen. So, you know, things like that. It's finding an outlet and knowing that, you know, once your day is finished, what's that thing that pours back into you so that you can then pour into your family and the people around you? So
what has been some of your favorite articles that you've written so far?
Ooh, that's a great question. So my favorite, I'd say the travel piece, talking about COVID and learning how to navigate travel during COVID. That was the funniest piece because of the weird things that I was doing. So I was going through the airport. I had on what looked like goggles. They were sunglasses, but let's just say they were goggles. I'm going to be honest. They're probably goggles off of Amazon. But I'd have like goggles on. I had like a jacket on and I had a hoodie on. And Alina poor thing, I don't know how she didn't die of heat stroke, but I would like wrap her up, tie her in a blanket and swaddle her and like hold her close to my chest and like check every few seconds that she's alive. So those little pieces have been my favorite to write, but also I would say in tie with it would be, I have a section on my blog called Dear Meg, and it's basically a section that's dedicated to like the Mother's Essential Guide followers. So I talk to them about just the craziest things, like what's going on, how I'm feeling about, you know, Chris traveling today, and how do I feel about now navigating motherhood by myself sometimes. And that has been the funnest because I've seen a lot of people interact with that section and be like, you got it, girl. Or, oh my God, I feel you. Like, how do you change a diaper? Why do they have those weird little sticky things? Why can't they just be normal underwear you pull up? Like, weird little conversations like that. Mm-hmm. Those, both of those, I'd say, have been my favorites.
Yeah. And I'm sure it helps for you to just know that I'm not the only one.
Oh, yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, the one thing too that I was curious about from a motherhood and just, you know, what being in a country that you weren't raised in, mm-hmm. is some of the cultural different, the little differences and cultural differences. I was just imagining that some of that too, you might not have recognized until you actually became a mom.
Oh my gosh. That's yes. one of the things in England or in London, I'd say that's really common, and I can't speak for all of London because I'm only from the north side, but one of the things that I've seen is that it's normal and it's common for women to obviously take their full maternity leave, which is usually a year. Mm-hmm. In America, it's 3 months, which is crazy. We need to get that together, Biden. But so they'll have that year, but in that year, they're ready to go back to work. Like straight away, they're just like, okay, we've had a year, we're ready to go. In living here, one of the things, and I could be wrong, but this has been like the general consensus of what I've experienced. A lot of mums were shocked that I still wanted to work. A lot of mums. And that was really different for me. And it could be the circle that I was in as well. A lot of mothers took, once they had their maternity leave, they would go back to work. But the ideal plan seemed to be to just stop working. So I guess because of my family's circumstances, a lot of people assumed, oh, she's pregnant now. That's it. Like, she'll probably just be on Instagram all the time, but she won't be doing anything else. I've had literally discussions with different women about working and being a mum. And it seems to me a lot of it has like swayed on the side of more take the time out, be a mum and then figure out your career later on. Whereas in England, it like I've never really experienced women saying anything about focusing heavily on just being a mum. Like my mum was a bank manager. And she was gone all the time. I can't even lie. She was barely ever home. But that was normal, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. it's navigating that norm as well. Another thing that I've realized is a cultural difference is how I would say speak to Alina, which obviously because I'm British, so it's a different accent. But this may not even be a cultural difference, but I think it is. Here in the South, one of the things that I love, and this sounds weird, but I've seen a lot of the mummy groups I've been in, no matter how small the child is, when they say no, they will explain why you shouldn't do that. I don't know what it is about, and this could be why Londoners are mean. It's just because we'll be like, nope, and that's it. But there was no, like, even growing up, there was no explanation. I had friends who were just used to a one-word answer, and that was that. I've personally now taken on what I've gathered from here, which is the explanation side and explaining to her, and she's only 16 months, but still saying, no, don't touch that because it's hot, rather than just saying, no, don't touch that, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Knoxville. You've definitely helped me be more of a talker to my child. So,
I think the first part that you mentioned too, that at least from my perception is it's a regional because I could see in New York, you know, in like a highly populated area, like in New York or LA or something like that. But I definitely do. And that's one thing that I've had and heard a lot of conversations around is this, just because I'm a mom doesn't mean that I've I'm completely going to ignore my other aspirations.
Yeah.
You know, it has become a part of my who I am now, but it's exactly. not my full, that's not the only thing
right.
around me and about me and what I'm passionate about.
Exactly.
And there's a little bit of, you know, there's groups of women that are very much supportive of, yeah, go back. You still have your passions and you still have, mm-hmm. you need outlets and you need creative outlets and you need ways for you to be able to challenge yourself and you know, being around right. a toddler all day long, yeah. you need other stimuli.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. And then there's the other groups, you know, the other opinion of, well, you know, what is that? That's going to be detrimental to your child because you're yeah. not around all the time. And so it's how do you, and because that is constantly a frustration and a pain point of mm. women feeling like they're a failure if they do and they're a failure if they don't.
Yeah. Funny you say this. I'm in the process of writing a blog about mum guilt because we've been traveling a lot and I've tried so hard to keep doing what I've been doing while having Alina. And the other day I had this feeling like we don't need to go here. We don't need to go. We was going to Colorado. But I had to go because it was for a hotel. Like we were supposed to be doing like promotion for a hotel. And something just kept telling me, no, Steph, don't go, don't go. And I was like, how can I not go? Like, I've already signed the contract, blah, blah, blah. And Alina got sick. And while we were there, she developed like this weird cold flu thing. And I was like, please don't tell me it's COVID or the pox of monkeys. Like, I don't want none of that stuff. And instantly my brain just went into this awful guilt mode where I was like, I took it out on my husband. I was saying to him, like, we shouldn't have gone. I told you, we shouldn't be traveling like this. We have a baby now. We need to slow down like normal people. We can't act like we don't have another human. It was just a lot. And it was a lot for him too, because I was yelling. But it was more so after she got better. We found out that she caught a virus. I always say this on my Instagram is one of the things that I try to do is bring my mind back to gratitude. So even when she was sick and all of that, and I'm feeling still all the mum guilt for the fact that I was so sure she got sick from being on the plane, because the plane is just, it's such a gross thing. Planes are gross.
Oh, they're disgusting.
They're so disgusting.
They're so gross.
There's no air circulation. You're breathing the same air for hours. It's nasty.
It has
nasty.
That still smell.
Yes, it's disgusting. Yeah. But anyway, going off of planes now, she obviously got better. And when she did, you know, all that kept going through my head was like, I need to slow down. Like everyone was right. I can't keep trying to do all these things and then bringing her along. She's a 1-year-old. That's not fair on her. But then I quickly realized, but hold on, if I then stop doing all these things, the one thing that's my biggest fear that I never want to be is resentful. And that's to my husband or my child. So because of that, we, and Chris is the same, we all try to give each other the space to still do what we want to do so that none of us feel like, oh, I had to stop doing this because of you or blah, blah, blah. So I, like I said, I bring my mind back to gratitude and will just tell myself, like, be grateful. You are able to fly with this little girl. Yes, she's going to get sick. Guess what? Even if you're at home, even if she was in daycare, she would still get sick. The fact is, she has the blessing to get sick, but get sick in a different country, which sounds crazy, but I would try to tell myself stuff like that and know she's not detrimentally sick, Steph. She's not going to die. She has a cold or she has a flu, or she has a virus and she'll get over it. And this is actually helping build her immune system. Like I will always do that. And I find that a lot of the times doing that and writing it down sometimes and actually sticking it on my mirror to remind me, because mum guilt is something that I struggle with every day, even today. Coming here today, I didn't even get to hug Alina properly. My Uber came outside. I threw her to her grandmother. Hopefully she caught her. And then I you know, dashed for the door. And I felt awful. I was like, oh my gosh, I left the house without hugging her. Say I don't go back and she never sees me again. And her last memory is me throwing her to her grandma. Like, all this crap. But I had to quickly realize again, you know, your brain plays tricks on you. You just have to be strong enough to silence that crazy side. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not a mother, but I hear conversations constantly about mommy guilt is real.
It's a real thing. Yeah, it is.
And my perception is, and I obviously I was not alive in, you know, previous decades to when I was born, but it just seems like it is amplified even more so because of the access to all the information on the internet and all the videos and everything that because I could also see from you know, people who follow you and who read the blog are like, oh my gosh, this woman gets to travel all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's gotta be so luxurious. And she probably, has help and all of that. And it's like, the reality is like, no.
You know what, Catherine? It's so funny you say that. Yeah. I had a message that sat in my inbox for months. It went into that weird hidden request thing. And for some reason, when I was in Jamaica, I opened that entire side of my DMs. And I had comments back from when we went to Las Vegas last year, and Alina was like 3 months. And I had so many different comments of, oh my God, I just had a baby. I wish there was a way that I could still travel. Do you get help? I had someone else ask me this was a really crazy one, but I had someone ask me if I ever take care of Alina or if it's always someone else. I've had some crazy stuff in my inbox. Yeah. And one of the things that, you know, you realize as an influencer, one of the things I try to do is be honest. I don't want people to think that my life is, I think because we travel so much, they assume, everyone who travels knows as well that it's stressful. You know, could you imagine for 1 month, me and Chris were not home. We were just bouncing around, which sounds great, but we're doing it with a toddler. We have an incredible amount of stuff that we're carrying on us. And on top of that, you're then trying to adjust your toddler to time zones. So it has, like I said, there is perks to it and it has been fun. We have so many incredible memories. But the key again is balance. I don't think I'm doing anything any better than a mum who takes that 1 year vacation every year and goes crazy and spends a bunch of money and has some fun. Let's just say we do that just in smaller increments. But could you imagine being on vacation with a one-year-old? Like, it sounds glamorous, but it's really not. Like, I am always tired. Maybe that's why my eyes are swollen today, guys. I don't know. But I'm always tired, always. And I mean, before when we were traveling a lot, prior to Alina, I was always tired. But now it's like more of a drain because I'm consistently thinking how to keep her safe while we're doing all these things. So it's glamorous, but then the other side of it is there's times where you just want to be at home and you want to wear your pajamas and stay in bed and watch Netflix all day. And I can't remember the last time I've done that. So
I know there's something to be said of the comfort of just having a place that you don't really need to go anywhere else because it's your place.
It's your place. It's your spot, which is great.
I absolutely get that, because I did a lot of traveling when I was younger, and I traveled for work, and so, you know, everybody always got this perception of like, oh, you're in New York and now you're in Chicago and you know, you're in all these cool places, and it's like, no, I just kind of want to go home and be in my pajamas.
I feel you.
And you know, just like eat a bunch of food out of my refrigerator. You know? I don't want to have to eat out anymore.
No. There's like, do you know what? It sounds so bad, but I think I forgot how to cook. Because yesterday I was like, I'm going to cook a fantastic dinner for Chris and show him that I'm just amazing.
Well, and I mean, you are amazing.
No, thank
you. You don't need to prove that.
I appreciate it. No, amazing in the kitchen.
Oh,
because it's been like over a month. So I was like, I want to prove that I can still cook. Like, I still got it. And I don't, guys. Maybe I do. Anyway, I tasted the food and I was like, oh, this is so gross. What have I done? And I think it was that it's, you know what, let's just blame Atlanta Housewives, because I was watching Housewives at the same time. Maybe that played a part. But in saying that, it's having those times to go back and relearn the things that are normal. It's more like just cooking for yourself, that nice luxury of knowing where your food has come from, how it's been processed, because you've done all of it. I missed like little things like that, believe it or not. So
are you going to be home for a little bit that you can?
Oh my God, Catherine.
No.
I'm not.
No.
I was like, you would hope that I'd say yes. No, sadly not. So next weekend, I have something in Colorado. And then for the month of September, I'm going back home. So I won't be in the US for basically all of September.
Okay.
And that's going to be my space to just do nothing. Absolutely nothing. Apart from see my friends. I have friends here, but obviously the friends that I've grown up with are all still in the UK. So having that chance to even let them see Alina, giving Alina to my mum, oh my God, I can't wait to do that. And then like having a little day by myself, that would be so nice. And then having the opportunity as well to show Alina London and to know that even though she's a baby, taking those pictures will be her memory of knowing like, hey, we got to take you to Buckingham Palace and we did all these cool things. And this is the other side of who you are. I'm excited about that.
Yeah. But, so you're, because your parents haven't physically met Alina, is that right?
They've met her once.
Once. Okay.
One time. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And that's been it. So, and I mean, she's 16 months and they saw Alina for 3 weeks in December and that was it.
Okay.
So
what are, so I have this question and then we're going to talk a little bit about your consultancy and yeah. that world, but I would love to hear, as a Londoner, what are some of your favorite hidden gems in the UK?
Oh, okay. I would say, so in Manchester, we're gonna go, should we just do London? Should we only focus on London to make it easier?
I would say, well, I guess it depends. If there's something really, really cool in another part of England, then obviously bring that up.
But, so yeah. I'll say, in Manchester, because I went to school in Manchester, so like I went to university there. So a lot of my adulthood or my pre-adulthood, whatever, was there. There is a street in Manchester that I'm trying to remember the name of. Oh no, my brain just went blank. What is the name of that street? It's basically their downtown area. Their entire downtown, if you go down most of their little weird alleyways, which sounds creepy, guys, I'm not trying to lead you down a dark road, but do it in the daytime. They always have hidden bars, like these little cute hidden bars that like there's some that are like a more kind of cool hippie vibe. And then they have other ones that are just a lot of students like studying in, just really cute little places like that. London, oh gosh, I'm trying to think of a hidden gem. And like with London, I feel like it's so in your face. There's nothing really hidden. There's no hidden special spots because as soon as someone discovers it,
yeah, everybody's
it blows
there.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a place called The Alchemist and that's really cool in central London. You don't have to, if you don't drink alcohol, that's completely fine. They do mocktails as well where it has like all this steam coming out of it. It's kind of like this, a pharmacy that you go into and all the drinks are brought to you in these cool little extravagant glasses, but the way that they're made is like through little beakers as if you're having like an experiment done.
Yeah,
that's a really cool place. Another place, and this is not hidden, but the Natural History Museum.
That
we have
a great museum.
We have an amazing Natural History Museum and a Science Museum too. So those two, they have little pockets in there where if you want to, depending on if you're traveling solo or with family, you can kind of escape and have like this little section to yourself where you can recap, go over the stuff that you've learned, and then you can have a guide with you the whole day, which isn't really heard of. So that's kind of really cool as well about those two museums. I can't think of anywhere else. And guess what? I'm going to leave here and be like, crap. How did I not say this, and this?
You'll have to write a blog about it.
I have to write a blog about
it
now.
Yeah. Yeah, while you're literally. Over there.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm so glad that you brought up Manchester. I think we've talked about, like, you know, I went to school in Hull.
Yeah.
But I would go to Leeds and I would go to Manchester. You know, it's like a 3 hour between the two, between all three cities. And I love Manchester's history and connection to the punk rock scene too.
Yes.
Just that whole side of it. And then, yeah, you see all these like little tiny bars and it's like, you know, Joy Division performed there and all that. It's really cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
What's Leeds like? I've heard Leeds is incredible.
Leeds is great.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a friend who was at uni in Leeds and we both came from the same university in America, but he went to Leeds and I went to Hull. And so I would take the train into Leeds over the weekend. And there's a couple really cool night spots that we would go to that, And it's just, you know, it's such a university-centric city too like if you're in your 20s in Leeds, it's so much fun.
It's so much fun. That's, I feel like that's the same with Manchester though.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a place to live as a student and just like a young adult who's single. I think Manchester is the place to be. For families, not probably the center of Manchester. Like the outskirts are really nice and affordable too. But oh my gosh, if you're in your 20s or 30s and you just need a good vacation, Manchester's so fun. It's so fun.
It is. And it doesn't get talked about.
It doesn't, like, ever. London is like, people just think London is England. It's not. There's so many cool little places in the UK. I can't even lie. I did not know all these cool places until I left. And then when I came home, I had a desire to really learn about England more, because people were asking me questions. I was like, I don't know the answer to that. And that was so bad. So I would go back home and visit these places or learn the answer to the question and then be like, hey, I actually went there. And yeah, they do blah, 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 blah. So
Yeah. I know. England, just for a small, from a square mile standpoint, it's so small, but there's so many really cool, and it's so different depending on, if you're in the north versus south, or if you're on the coast. And my family's from the Isle of Man, which is just like its own little weird.
Oh, that is so nice.
Yeah. And, there's so many just strange things in the Isle of Man that nobody knows about, like the motorcycle races that happen there.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So that's a really big deal in the Isle of Man, is there's this motorcycle race that goes around the entire perimeter of the island.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's this big, thing. It's a big deal. And I didn't learn about it until I went there and was doing a little bit of diving into the history of the Isle of Man, because we were in Douglas and
Oh, cool.
Anyways. Yeah. There's cool. All these little tiny things. And it's not just London.
No, it's that's not the just thing. London. That's it's the really thing. Not.
Yeah.
I mean, go to England. The smartest thing to do, I always say, travel to England and go to a city that you've never heard of. And then make your way to London. First of all, the flights will be a lot cheaper. And secondly, you'll learn that England has different accents, similar to America.
Oh, yeah.
It is not, we do not all sound like this, guys. Actually, believe it or not, if you was to put me in front of a bunch of British people, I would sound the least British from the part of London that I'm from, which sounds crazy, but it's funny enough true.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
I love trying to figure out different
where
accents.
From.
Yeah. I know. It can be really tricky. It's the same with different types of Southern accents too.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a similar tiny differences, and you can tell exactly you're from Texas versus you're from Georgia or Tennessee. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So let's go into the consultancy now. And so you talked about that your boss encouraged you to do it because you have all of this experience, and so you were already working with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think there was that sliver of that shining through the last time that we talked,
yeah.
But you hadn't fully figured all that out yet.
No.
Yeah.
It's crazy. There was always something in the back of my mind that was like, start a business. But I was like, no, because again, as someone who is an overachiever, someone like that, the issue is my biggest fear sometimes is failure. Like, I don't want to fail. So because I kept feeling like, I don't think I have what it takes to do this. I don't know how to run a business. Like, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So at first it was a lot of learning, but I dedicated so much time before I even started. Funny enough, from 2020, I was looking into what it would look like to be a consultant. How would you make sure that money is consistent in that time, all of that. And after I kind of figured certain aspects of it out, I was ready to go. And funny enough, this is why it's great to have bosses who don't just care about a corporation, but cares about you as an individual. When my boss, that was the last straw, when she said to me, the conversation was more, she could tell that I really missed Alina. And she was like, I really think that what you may need to do with everything that you're doing, just umbrella it under a consultancy. Not just that, but you work with already managing a few social medias, just make it a business. And I thought, I've been thinking about this lady, but I just don't know, because say as soon as I quit, my security's gone, and then I just have to figure this out. I'm no longer checking in, 9 to 5 kind of thing. And it's definitely made me a harder worker. The company that I run right now specifically is around small businesses and nonprofits. So I create marketing plans for those kind of businesses. Right now, I have more so ventured out into broadening the consultancy to also do voiceovers as well, because that was something else I was doing. So it falls under everything creative and marketing. So I'm kind of right now a one-man band who is about to give in and say, one man band cannot do this no more. Right. I may need another person.
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, all it is just running different social media accounts specifically for nonprofits and small businesses. Because I feel like with them, you can, number one, you can track results. Number two, it's very hard, especially when you're getting started out as a nonprofit, to figure out what makes you different. Because believe it or not, everything that we do, there is this little thing in that that makes us special, that makes us different, that I try to then find and blow it up to make it into something that we may not find a million people, but I can tell you we'll find at least 100, and those 100 people will be dedicated to that because of the fact that this connects with them. So that side of it has been, I love the research side, the analytics side, that side has been really fun. And then just meeting all these cool people has been incredible too. It's been wild, guys. It's been wild, but it's been good.
Good.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're at that point of the entrepreneur quandary of, okay, I've built this thing and now I just like don't have time to sleep. And so what do I do now? I have this thing but I need to offload some of it but I still need to maintain that I can have an income on a regular basis.
Exactly.
And yeah, that is the ultimate entrepreneur quandary, especially when you're in the very beginning stages.
Oh my gosh, do you know what? And that's why I need to go to more. I never used to go to entrepreneurial events. I'm like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I mean, I'll go just to like meet people and be with the weirdo in the corner. But I didn't go because I never, like I said, because I always had the idea in the back of my head. I never had the bravery to actually do it. So now I'm more trying to get into the space of looking for groups of people who are in the same kind of field that I'm in and just hanging out and finding out, you know, hey, how did you do this? Because I'm not sleeping and I don't know how to balance it with a one-year-old. I'm still trying to figure that piece out. And then also still trying to keep my blog alive as well. So it's been good. But then, like I said, for me, one of the things, it's not all doom and gloom. One of the things that I will kind of rejoice about is the fact that, you know, right now I'm managing three different clients, which is awesome. I've only been doing this for like a month and a half. So I'm really grateful for having the opportunity to do that. And also just having people who actually trust me enough to know that I care about what you're doing and I'm not someone that will work with you if I don't care about your business. Mm-hmm. Something about it has to resonate with me for me to be able to want to produce the results for you. And so far, so good. Like all three of them, I hope I'm not speaking too prematurely and then I come back and I'm like, I'm back at a 9 to 5. But all three of them so far have been extremely grateful. And we've seen like outstanding results. And I think it's stuff like that is what makes me feel happy. I'm hoping that one day, you know, this can build into something that when Alina becomes older, she has the choice of if she actually wants to work for someone else or if she wants to just be with her mom all the time still, which I'm hoping, and wants to work with me and build this thing up into something, you know, some sort of creative umbrella of cool stuff. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I love that you brought up that you're part of the, essentially the legacy is being able to be a model to your daughter of, you know, this is something that is possible. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know that's not always the case. And you hear a lot of stories. I hear them from quite a few women who become entrepreneurs where it's, they didn't think they could do it because their mom was not the type to take a risk like that. And was like, you need a 9 to 5. Why don't you, you know, don't grow outside your britches, you know, mm-hmm. don't aim for something higher than where you were born into.
Yeah.
And so it is always amazing that for so many women, that's a big part of why they continue to go towards entrepreneurship is because when you have other little ones looking up to you, that you don't want to continue that lineage of you can't go outside these parameters.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big thing for me because my parents are successful, but they're successful in corporate. They are very corporate people. All my siblings are in corporate. So when I even told them, and I did it over Zoom, proper like family meeting, just being extra again. I was like, guys, I've been thinking and I'm going to start a business. Like, I already, you know, I already make a good income from like some social stuff. And I'm like, but I want to actually build something to help people. I don't just want to be here on Instagram all the time. Like, I want to be able to hopefully, you know, when it comes to the time that I leave this earth, I want to know that someone or a few someones can turn around and say, that girl actually helped me. And I thought I gave such a nice heartfelt spiel, and they all were like, but what happens if it fails? I was like, why would you even say that? You just putting that vibration around me is bad. I don't want to be thinking about failure right now. But after a little while of me just kind of ignoring those words, because, you know, sometimes it's the very people you love who can discourage you from something.
Yeah.
But they were at first very discouraging. I'm not going to lie, guys. I love my family, but they were. And then after a while, I think when I got my first official client, my dad was like, hey, I think this is going to go really well. I said, oh my gosh. So it just took for me to have one person, not me telling you that I'm hoping it goes well. But yeah, so since then, they've now got on board. So I'd say sometimes you have to make that leap, and you don't even know that your leap encourages not just a generation after you, but even those before you. So I'm happy that hopefully I've inspired my family too.
I think that is one of the more common things that stops someone, is you don't necessarily, if your family weren't entrepreneurial, it's such a weird world to be in. And it's a very, very risky world, but it's at least I'm personally an advocate of it, obviously.
Because you're killing the game, of course.
I'm just doing what I can. But I also grew up around entrepreneurs. So it's like, you know, I was a little bit different in that. I think it probably made perfect sense to my family when I was like, hey, I'm building this thing. And they're like, well, yeah, that makes sense.
That's very cool.
Of course you would.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Yeah. But I love that you're, cause I know it was there in, you know, two years ago when we talked, like it was there.
It was there.
It was there. And so I love that coming back, that it's now like, oh yeah, I'm actually doing the thing, and I'm out there and I'm going after it.
Going after it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So talk a little bit about how people can connect with you.
Sure. So first thing is through my Instagram, which is at Steph B and 2 underscores. Drop me a message and say hi, because I love talking to new people. Another thing is my blog. My blog is www.stephb.org. Or you can just go to Google and type in Mummy's Essential Guide and I'll pop up. And if you want a bit of a laugh, scroll through the crazy stories, guys. Like, some of it is educational. Others of it is just me being weird. It's just me being myself. So and that's another way to reach me. And then Facebook. Facebook is my new friend. I've had Facebook for a while, but I've been posting a lot more on there. And that's just Steph Blue.
Okay, yeah, great. And then obviously if there's people that are small business or nonprofits that are needing some social media help, which I haven't met any who don't need help.
Right.
I think everybody's just kind of like, I am so done with all of the platforms. Right. Can somebody else please do this for me?
I hear you. If you are at that point, I mean, especially if you're looking for results, that's something that is really important to me, as I'm sure it is to you. You could just type in Steph B Consultancy again on Google and it'll pop up. Or if you join me on Facebook, it's in my bio. So just click on my little bio and you'll see all the things that we offer. It's not just social media. I do voiceovers as well for like ads, if you want that, if you want a British person talking. And then we also do just a general consultancy of I can just give you the tools to help you figure out how to build your social from that point, rather than me doing it personally. So yeah, if you're interested, drop me a message and I'd love to sit down and have a chat.
Well, thank you so much,
you
Steph,
are welcome.
For talking so openly about all the aspects of all the wild
of
things.
Of all the wild things. Yeah. Right.
And I mean, you do look pretty cool with the sunglasses too. Like,
I feel like a hella diva. I walked in here, I have on big black sunglasses. My eyes are so sore. Thank you for like looking at, I can see you looking at me, which is good. So yeah, my eyes look awful, Catherine. I've saved you.
I mean, they're fantastic sunglasses.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I love them. And,
thank you.
And one thing that I wanted to leave with too is that, because you were talking about the fear of failure and your family kind of not really helping with that fear. One thing that I will mention and I'll leave everybody with is that so Sue Malone, who is one of the biggest private loaners to small women-owned businesses across the entire country. She's one of the biggest loaners, wow, too, and funders, I should say. She will say time and time and time again that the one way that she, one of the ways that she uses to determine whether to give funding to another woman is if she has failed. Wow. She has to fail. She has to learn how, what it feels like to fail, wow, and to come back up from that.
Yeah.
So I use that. I think about that all the time, that I'm actually, you know, a little happy if I do fail at something.
That is awesome.
Because,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, then this gives me, for one thing, it gives me something to talk about, and yeah, it gives me a story to tell. So I just want to leave you and every other woman, because I feel like it's ingrained in us that we cannot fail, because yeah, there are a lot more social repercussions if a woman fails.
Right.
But it is a good thing.
It's and a good thing to fail.
Yeah.
I love okay that, Catherine. Fail.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steph.
You are welcome. It was great being here.
Yeah. This episode of She Speaks is brought to you by our amazing partners at First Horizon Bank. She Speaks is produced, edited, and scored by the very talented Travis Tench at Oak Hill Audio. If you loved the episode you just heard and want to support Let Her Speak's mission of elevating real women's stories, don't forget to follow, subscribe, and share at Let Her Speak USA. Together, we will make our voices heard.